Hello.
Hello, I'm just after Andrew, please.
Yes, 2 minutes, no getting for you.
No worries, thank you.
2 minutes, no getting for you.
Hello?
Hello, Andrew. It's just Aaron calling you back from INS Law, sir. How are you?
Hiya, pal. All right.
That's good. There's now a more convenient time for yourself.
Yes. I'll speak to you just though, yeah.
Yep. Okay, perfect, Andrew. So, so we've received your inquiry in regards to the Scottish Redress Scheme. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the application process with yourself and find out about your time and care, if that's okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So just for data protection, Andrew, I'm just going to grab some generic details from you. So I've got your first name here as Andrew, surname MacDonald.
Yes.
Okay, and is there any middle names?
Hill Stevenson.
Hill Stevenson.
Yes.
Okay, and I've got your email address here as andymacdon1968@gmail.com.
Yes.
Perfect. And what's your date of birth, please?
12/4/68.
Perfect. Okay. And what's your current home address, please, Andrew?
3 Stonecroft Place, Kincaisden, KA73XA.
Okay, and what number of Stonecroft is that, sorry? 3A?
Number three. It's a flat just now, but it's number 3, Bill.
Ah, okay. That's a problem.
What's your first name again, mate? Sorry.
My name's Aaron.
Aaron, thank you. Okay, Aaron. Hiya.
That's a problem. Hi, sir. Okay, Scotland. Okay, and what's the name of the GP that you're registered with, please, the practice?
Kirkcal Street. I got attacked a couple of years ago. My brain gets mad. I'm just trying to remember. What's my doctor's name? Do you remember?
That's okay for the doctor's name, sir. Just the name of the practice, that's all.
Kirkcal Street.
Could you spell that for me, if that's okay?
Let her spell it for you, mate.
It's C-A-T-H-C-A-R-T.
C-A-T-C-H.
No, C-A-T-H, Cathcart Street.
Ah, Cathcart Street. Yeah, I've got that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, the Cathcart Street practice. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay. And Andrew, was you known by any of the names during your time in care?
No.
No, okay. Have you changed your name legally at any time by depot or marriage?
No.
No, okay. And do you know the address that you lived in prior to being placed in care?
Yes. 59 Westwood Avenue, Dunmaling Air. K-8, but I can't remember the last 3 digits, mate.
That's okay, I've got that here. K-8. Okay, and am I able to grab the names of your mother and father, please?
Margaret MacDonald and Stephen MacDonald, both dead.
Was it Stephen spelled with a V or a PH?
A V.
Okay, not a problem. The only reason why I asked for them details, Andrew, is because some local authorities or institutions with filing your records, with you being in care under the age of 18 at the time, they place your records sometimes under your mother and father's name. So we can obviously relay that information to anybody if required.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. And have you applied for any advance payments towards the redress scheme at all, sir?
No, never. I've been told to do it a lot of times, but I've always been kind of scared to do it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, of course. I understand. Well, thank you for taking the courage to come to terms with, you know, starting the application process. I know it can take a lot.
Thank you, mate. Thank
That's
you.
Okay. As well as giving you a call, Andrew, are we okay to send you texts and emails as well?
Yes, that's fine. Alan, that's fine, yeah.
Perfect, okay. And is there any terminal illnesses that you need to make me aware of?
No, but a couple of years ago I got attacked and I got plates in my head and I got really smashed up, but I'm no terminal illness.
Okay, that's fine, Andrew, thank you. Would you like to add a beneficiary to your application at all?
What's that? A beneficiary?
A beneficiary, yeah.
Yes, I would, but I need to go and see them first to let them know what's happening.
Yeah, of course, I can put no for now, and at a later date, you're more than welcome to give me a call and change that, no problem.
Hey, thank you, Alan, thank you.
Not a problem at all, sir.
I'm nervous with this, Alan, you know?
Yeah, no, of course, I completely understand that. I just want to obviously inform you, I don't bite. But no, I'm here to listen to your story, Andrew. I'm not here to judge or criticise in any way. To put it in a more simple terms, I'm on your side against the authorities and the local institutions and what they may have done to you. I'm here to help you and listen to what you have to say. So obviously the more open and honest you are with me, the more understanding I've got of your case. And what I can do in regards to assess the evidence that you want to give to me in order to see, you know, how we can help you and support you throughout this process, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Andrew. So just want to inform you that these calls are recorded for training and quality purposes.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do appreciate that discussion experiences connected to your application can be difficult and upsetting. But yeah, please take your time during this call. If you do need a break, further explanation, support, or would prefer to continue at another time, you just let me know at any point during this call, okay?
Am I going to speak about this through the phone, not face to face thing?
Yeah, no, so it's going to be over the phone, a bit of an easier process for some people. But unfortunately, we are an English based law firm. But we are helping over nearly 1,000 clients in Scotland at the minute. So unfortunately, we don't have the facilities to do face-to-face appointments at the minute.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, is that okay for yourself?
Kind of, but I might need to stop because I'm kind of nervous, Sam, but I'll talk to you as much as I can just now.
Of course, Andrew. As I said, if you need a break, if you want to go and if you want to pause the conversation, you want to go make a coffee, go outside, have a cigarette, anything that keeps you calm and relaxed, you're more than welcome to. You just let me know at any point, okay?
See, people ask me to make a claim against this, and they make a claim against stopping it dozens and things like that years later, and I says, no, I don't want to do it, you know?
Yeah.
I was kind of just worried about it, you know, but I was 24, I was in prison, but you was 15, when I was 15 years old, I was 15, I was in listed school.
When it comes to obviously any abuse or, you know, trauma that you've faced during your time in prison, you are more than welcome to go through a civil claim once this redress scheme is finished and being completed on your behalf. But yeah, obviously this redress scheme, they look at, you know, your care settings prior to the 1st of December 2004. So, you know, list these schools, some detention centres, children's care homes, Catholic churches, anything like that. That's what this scheme deal with. Okay. So if you've suffered abuse after the age of 18 in prisons and stuff like that, you know, you can take out a civil claim against other authorities because the redress scheme won't be involving them prisons as such.
The abuse was 15 as I speak about to find it, but it's the first time I've ever thought of it. I've had the courage to speak about it, you know.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand that. Well, as I said, obviously, there's completely no pressure on this phone call. If you do need a break or anything like that, you just let me know, and it's no problem at all to give you a call back today, tomorrow, whenever. It's completely at your pace. You know, we want to make this process as comfortable and as stress-free for yourself. We're here to do the hard work for you.
Thank you.
That's okay, sir. Please take a break during this call. If you need any further explanation, support, or want to continue at another time, you just let me know.
Okay.
Is there any communication difficulties or vulnerabilities that you need to make me aware of at all?
No, I can speak through the phone, not a problem with you.
Okay, that's completely fine. Okay, Andrew, so the purpose of this phone call is to explain the Scottish Redress Scheme to you and the options that you have around the scheme. I'll also explain how INS Law operates when representing you, and also discuss our funding and fees. And I'll also gather all the initial information to assess whether we may be able to assist you.
Okay.
Okay, so the Scottish Redress Scheme provides financial payments, apologies and support to survivors of historical child abuse in care in Scotland prior to the 1st of December 2004. It is important that you understand all of your available options before deciding whether to instruct us as your law firm to represent you. But the three options that are applicable to yourself is option one, you can apply directly to the Scottish Redress Scheme themselves without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you. Option two is that you can instruct a solicitor who operates under the Scottish Government Legal Fee Scheme, where they are paid directly by the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application. Under that government scheme, participating solicitors may receive up to £2,000 plus VAT from the Scottish Government for assisting you with your application, regardless of whether you are successful or not with that application. But INS Law does not operate under that statutory scheme and will not claim those government-funded fees. So if you do decide to instruct us, you'll be choosing option three, which would be a private legal representation under a conditional fee agreement, and we would not be paid by the Scottish Government for assisting you.
Yeah.
I do just want to clarify, Andrew, at this stage, can you confirm whether you are being instructed by any of the law firms or solicitors to act on your behalf for this redress scheme?
No, not yet. No, I've thought about it, but I've not done it yet.
Yeah.
So, you're the first person I'm actually speaking to about it, seriously.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, Andrew. And once again, I do appreciate the courage and bravery you're facing at the minute, so thank you. Okay, so our agreement being option three, sir, we operate on a no-win, no-fee basis. So what that means is that if your application is unsuccessful, you won't pay anything. And if you withdraw your application on our advice, you won't pay anything either. If your application is successful and you receive a redress payment, our fees would only consist of basic charges and time spent with effort on your case, and also a success fee as well. However, the total fees, including VAT, are capped at no more than 16% plus VAT of your redress payment, so you'll never pay anything more than the agreed cap of 19.2%.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Okay, Andrew. So I do want to make it clear that we cannot guarantee that your application will be successful or the level of award that the scheme may award you, but the Scottish Redress Scheme operates on a discretionary basis, which I'll explain in greater detail during this call for you.
Okay.
Okay, so if you do decide to instruct us, sir, we can assist with whether you are eligible to apply to the redress scheme. What we'll do is we'll gather and review all evidence given over the phone call today, and then I will then prepare and submit your application to the Scottish Redress Scheme in order to obtain an application number on your behalf. And once we receive that application number, we would then be corresponding with all relevant local authorities and institutions to obtain records on your behalf. And once we've obtained them records, we would then submit your final application after gathering a witness statement from you, and we'll advise of any offer made from the redress scheme, with also explaining the statutory waiver that there is to sign once an offer has been awarded and accepted. And we'll also offer all of our assistance with any reconsideration or review process within the scheme. Okay, what that statutory waiver is that I've just briefly mentioned for you there, Andrew, is basically once the offer has been awarded and accepted, any local authorities or institutions that have been listed within this redress scheme, you then can't go and take out a civil claim relating to the matters that have just been dealt with within the redress scheme. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Yep, okay, perfect, sir. I do want to inform you as well, Andrew, that you do have a right to cancel. So if you do decide to proceed, you will have a 14-day cancellation period after signing our agreement, and you can cancel within that period for any reason without charge. If you choose, you can also authorise us to begin work immediately whilst your cancellation rights still remain. So if that is the case, Andrew, and you do sign our agreements, would you like us to start work immediately for you?
Yeah, for signing the agreements, yeah.
Yep, of course, that's absolutely fine. Okay, we will also need to verify who you are, Andrew, for verification purposes, but not only that, for anti-money laundering regulations as well. So we will need photo ID from you and a proof of address dated within 3 months of today's date. So whether that be a passport, driver's license or birth certificate, alongside a proof of address dated within the last 3 months, showing all four corners and a clear picture for us, please.
Right, okay.
Okay, and you can send that over via email or WhatsApp, whatever's easier for you.
Okay,
so what I'm going to do for you, Andrew, if it's okay now, is I'm going to go through your care settings with you and find out what care settings you were placed at. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So if you can recall, Andrew, can you tell me the name of your first care setting that you were placed at, please?
Kitlin Parts, Darvel and Ayrshire.
Okay, just bear with me whilst I'm pulling up the details for that one. Yeah, was that Kelton Park Assessment Centre that you said?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Then I went to Children's Listening School in Bede. That was a particular Scotland.
Yeah, okay. How long was you at Kelton Park for?
4 weeks, I think.
4 weeks, okay. And what year was you placed at Kelton Park?
Well, I was 15, so it'd be 83,
yeah. Okay, so after Kelton Park, where was it that you said that you then was?
Jails and Bees, Lifty School.
Did you say it was Geesland House?
Geesland, yeah.
Yeah, Geesland House, sorry, that's my bad.
Yeah, that's it. I was the last year still, Scotland. That was in the touch of Scotland.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Nightmare City, you should call it.
What was that, sorry?
Nightmare City, we should call it.
Yeah, I can imagine that for you, sir. How long was you at Geesland House for?
I was there just before I was 16. I had to be honest with you, just before I was 16. 8 months, 9 months I was there for.
Okay. Okay, so after Geesland House, where was you then placed?
It wasn't, the list is back into when I was 16, I get back out, you know.
Okay, so after you were 16, was you then took back home, was you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so just so I've got this correct, I've got Kelton Park Assessment Centre and Geesland House, and they are the two care settings before you turned 18, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, not a problem, sir. Okay, without putting you under any pressure, Andrew, are you okay to go through the statements with yourself now? I'm not going to get a full-on in-depth witness statement. I just need to grab a bit of a brief statement from yourself from some events and experiences that have happened. Is that okay with you?
I'll try.
Okay, that's all you can do, sir. You can try. As I said, if you need to have a break, if you need to have a breather, reset yourself in any way, you just let me know and I can call you back or I can give you that time, okay?
Okay,
sir. So talk me through when you arrived at Kelton Park. How was that experience for you?
First for a couple of days, it was in the showers, and they put powder and that over us. A certain officer put powder over us, their lice powder and things like that. But then he kind of wanted it as himself, and when he came in there, he got two handy wee hands and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
Then it went further after that, but I was I was always aggressive. I would end up fighting him, and he got me away to Elysee School fast as possible, you know. Because I was sticking up for the younger people as well, so I was.
Yeah. So you're saying you were, was this powdered substance that was, you know, put over you, was this in the first, like, maybe say, week of you being here, was it?
Every night of the week, mate.
At the end of the week, sorry.
Every night of the week.
Oh, every night of the week, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, bear with me. And would you say this, you know, that shower experience in itself, would you say that was traumatizing for you?
No, it was when you try to get yourself, it was traumatizing when you try to do it yourself to you. And when you've done it yourself, I was getting dragged away from my bed in the night and put away in a place and getting into boiler for sticking up for the younger ones and that. Things went too far for me, you know.
Yeah. And when you was putting these showers, was you walked into the showers in accordance with, you know, a group of lads, or were you just thrown into the showers, like manhandled in a way?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, yeah. But usually when we come out of the shower, we were standing there naked, and that's when they put the white powder on us, lice powder all over us, but for hundreds of it on us, you know?
Yeah.
But after that, the officer's name, I know the two guys that done it, you know? I know their names.
Yeah.
I never forget them, you know?
Yeah.
They've done a lot of things today, you know?
Yeah. So this powdered substance, did you say that it was white?
Yeah.
And was this thrown onto you, or was it given to you to put on yourself, sorry?
No, I did put it on.
Okay, so Dad put it on you?
Put it all over our bodies every time we come out of the shower. He's the same, usually the same officer that would try to do it, and he liked to try to do it with his hands, and I would go against it. But the younger ones couldn't, they were terrified, you know?
Yeah.
But me, I ended up getting put in the silent room, and I get left the other way. I was took out the shower and things like that happened to me after that when I was in there tonight, because I had free time with me, you know.
Yeah. So was it officers that were here, or was it like guards?
Oh, it was just men in civilian clothing.
Okay.
And that was killing just men with civilian clothing. They never had uniforms on or anything.
They were trying to use their hands. Okay, so just saying there, obviously, you know, they try and use your hands, try and use their hands to try and, you know, rub it in, but you would resist in them doing so, you know, kind of fighting back. But you do remember them using the hands on the maybe smaller kids who are more terrified and scared to resist. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell me any other experiences that you may have endured during your time at Kelton Park.
Oh, wow.
As I said, I do apologise in asking. I just, obviously, I need to do this for your statement.
I got molested a few times. I ran away from the police in the finish up.
Yeah, but of course. Well, I know it's, you know, it can be uncomfortable to talk about it, and I completely understand that. But the more information that you give me, not even, you know, today, obviously, what you're comfortable with, but the more information that you relate to me, this obviously will get sent off to the Scottish Redress Scheme, in terms of obtaining an application number. You can see the statement yourself, but this will they will recognise the severity on what you've faced. So if we obviously if we do miss some parts, that's okay. As I said, you will get we will go into detail at a later process with in a more in depth witness statement. But obviously for now, if you could potentially feel confident in sharing maybe even one or two of them moments with me, I can you know add this into your statements. But I completely understand if you don't want to and you're not comfortable with it. I really do.
I'm kind of funny with that. Some of the abuse, but when I get taken away and silent them at night, and nobody else was meant to know because I was kept quiet and I was still naked, and that's when they were coming and didn't really have to do with me, you know.
Okay. So it was after the showers you'd be kept there, would you?
Yeah, they took me after the showers. No, when we went to the bed, I get put in my bed at night time, like, they took down the stairs as well. They keep going upstairs and they come in and try and get me to do stuff to them, and I wouldn't do it. I was fighting back all the time. But they would, one would hold me and the other one would do what he's doing, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard, it's just really hard, man, you know?
Yeah, no, of course, I understand that. Yeah, just
I have never spoken about this to anybody at all, you know?
Yeah.
Not even my doctors or anything, you know? I haven't spoken about it or nothing, you know?
Yeah, no, of course, and I completely understand, and really, yeah, you should be proud of the courage that you're facing at the minute, because it does take a lot, especially, you know, being a man myself, Sarah, I do understand there's some things that you just don't want to talk about, but you're doing really well.
Thank you.
That's okay. You just take a breath, take a moment, and you just, obviously, we go at your pace, Sarah, okay?
Okay, mate, okay.
Okay, so the guards and officers, or guards or officers, that's also important in the statement for you. They would follow you to your room, is that correct?
They put us in my beds at night. You think change shifts, they would put us in the beds at night, but I would get my mouth covered and dragged in my bed at night, so none of the boys heard it, you know?
Yeah.
So what happened to me was, I kind of kept it to myself, and I ended up going to the panel 4 weeks later, and I ran away from the place. That's when they put me in List D scale, mate, you know? They got rid of me quite fast because I was that, becoming a nuisance with them, you know?
Yeah.
That's the truth of the matter, you know? There's a lot more things, you know, but I tried to stop them from doing, but they wanted me to do it to them, you know?
Yeah.
But it didn't mean it was kind of unspeakable, you know?
Yeah, no, of course. So just so I've got this right then, you know, the guards and the officers, you know, they would put you to bed at night, but then when the staff changed for the night staff to come in, would they then come to your room and, you know, try and touch you and wish you fall back? Is that more correct, is it?
Yeah, there's a couple of get dragged away at night time, two older ones. Put their hands over their mouth and dragged us away through the other people. Anybody heard us, they were afraid to say anything, you know? They were scared to say anything. Everybody just sat there with their eyes closed, you know, so until we get dragged away.
Okay.
I was only there for 4 weeks, but because I ran away from the panel, it was a pure terror place, you know? I wasn't going, I'd rather die than went back to it, you know?
Yeah. When you said that, you obviously you've witnessed other kids, you know, have a hand put on their mouth and be dragged away. Do you know where they would be dragged to?
Yeah, well, sometimes it was down the stairs into the rec room. The snooker table was there. It was into a side room, but just tables and desks were there. I even took it into the classroom at night time as well. And that's outside the building on the side, you know?
Yeah.
I saw they couldn't hear the screaming, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So just just touching back briefly on when the staff would come to you, did they by any means, did they, get to eventually touch you at all?
Yes, of course they did, yeah.
Okay.
More than that,
Okay, so when it comes to these moments, how many staff members would you say there was around you when this was happening, in terms of them trying to restrain you and stopping to resist or trying to touch you? How many would you say?
It was generally the same kind of shift. Is that the two of them? It was mainly two of them, but there was one main one. It was the one in the shower. It was the one that came in at night time. I thought he was going home, and he came in at night time. That was the one, him and his pal, he came in and wake us up. It was really young. They could take it. They could handle it with no bother, you know?
Yeah.
Instead, they killed the younger ones. Then they go with them and things like that, you know? They're just horrible fucking cunts. It's really the language, mate, you know?
Okay. So I've got the experience of the the showering routine of the white substance being put over you, the time you use their hands, but obviously you've seen it happen to other kids far worse, and you as lucky candidate to resist in them senses.
Yeah.
I've also got the guards or officers that would put you to bed at night. Obviously, then the night staff will come in, and then that's when obviously them two male staff members would do what they'd team up to do, which is obviously quite unfortunate for you and the other kids around you.
Yeah.
I've also put at the bottom here, that you also witnessed other kids in your room had a hand on their mouth. I'm gonna put from the night staff members, and we dragged away to another room. I could hear the screaming from these kids, and it was not nice to witness or be within that experience.
See, once we were dragged away eventually, but nobody else could hear us because where they put us,
Yeah.
In the classroom, it's outside the building inside, and the classroom's closed, but it's like midnight at night, and we're in the classroom, and we're held in there, And then my eyes were covered. I couldn't tell you how many people were there. I know there's always the same two. It was the main ones,
Yeah. Yeah, no, of course. I understand that. Okay, so with them, them kind of three experiences that you've shared with me in itself, is there anything else that you'd like to share with me, or would you like to leave it there for now?
I'd like to leave it there for now, mate. No.
That is completely fine, Andrew. That's not a problem at all. Okay, thank you again for the courage and bravery that you've faced there. I do appreciate that. I know that's not the nicest experience at all to go through at a young age, so thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Me being the first person for you to open up to, I do appreciate that. Moving on to Gearsland House School then. Talk to me about your experience there. What was that like for you?
Gearsland?
Yeah.
No, that was Church of Scotland. That was... everybody in the whole place had to march, and they each a day, but there's certain times in the workplace. I was in the building department, and I was actually looked after in there until I went to another place, and I was a couple of them taken around the motors if they're taking somewhere. Gilden became intolerable sometimes,
Yeah.
And once you took it there, it was we're gay, you could be like us, But they'd wives and wains and that, a lot of them, And we used to get taken back to the house in Beath, I've been tied up and put in boots and mortar and everything, to be honest with you. But I ran away from there too, but they got me back, but it only kept me there for 8 months, and because I was turning 16, they had to let me go,
Yeah.
Because of the sex, they couldn't keep me until I was 18 because I wasn't under the 4-1-C section, you know?
Yeah, of course. So, tell me what type of abuse that you may have suffered here then?
Sexual abuse, there's all sexual abuse, mate, plus other things, you know, half the time I was unconscious, they made us pour stuff down my throat and things like that, I didn't know what was happening, half the time I didn't even know what was happening, I just woke up in agony the next day on a bed and back in the LSD school, you know.
Okay. Okay, so I'll dive deep into that in a second then. So you remember walking around this facility in like a marching type of order?
They all marched in there. Everybody had to do it, you know, every morning, you know.
Yeah. Okay. And so then obviously from that, would you say that your memory is vague from it and you just remember parts of that? Would that be more accurate?
No, I remember see it in the dormitories they're in. One of the doors opened, two of the staff would walk in and pick two of the boys or three of the boys. They took through the door into the rector's room or whatever you call it, and took them in the room, and the boys we'd be on the bed at night and we'd woke up out of bed and half all the boys would be sleeping, we'd be kidding them, they were sleeping, and we'd take in they'd pick three folk or two folk to take us through the door into the headman's place, and that's when the abuse really started, you know.
Yeah. So once they come to your dormitory and, you know, chose two or three kids and you're saying that this would be at night, would you then get taken to a more so private area for this abuse to then happen to you?
Yeah, sometimes you get into the house next door, this house attached to it, and they said it was the head man's house, the governor's house, or whatever you call it. But right for my dormitory, the door was right in the dormitory, and you could open the door and come right into it for you. That's a dorm. I know it's for a while though. At first, they were just taking people through it, and I didn't know what it was for at first. No, it was a good idea, but I didn't realise, you know.
Yeah.
And then after that, some of the boys just went below, as if you get your bed and you stood up, and some of the boys just went. But I was always getting the temper, you know.
Yeah.
And it happened to me, and I fought against it every step of the road, but I was a small guy, you know, dead small.
Yeah, yeah. So when you were talked to this you know, house attached to the facility, is this when, you know, you said that they'd put stuff down your throat in order to make you unconscious?
Sometimes, yeah, I'd be unconscious and I would wake up a day later or 2 days later, you know. And it made me unstable, it made me angry, so I was called me the flaky teacher trying to take me in your life. I never was insane. I was only angry because of what was happening to me, you know.
Yeah.
Plus other things happening in other places in the place. You know, and I was all different stuff. There was a lot of good stuff, but it was all different stuff we're doing it. And some people came in for hours here, you know, and I don't understand what happened there. I can't tell you what happened there, because it's too young to understand that, you know, nonsense, you know.
Yeah.
Because people were driving in the night time and you were coming to the place, and if I'm unconscious or half unconscious, me and another boy, we just remember seeing, like, I don't know how many men up, so many men, something women were there too, you know.
Yeah, okay. So you'd be made unconscious, you don't remember what exactly happened to you, but then you remember waking up in agony.
Yeah, I'd wake up my bed night and lift my door and say, there's nothing happened, you know.
Yeah, of course. So, like, obviously they'd take you back to your bed for you to wake up as if, yeah, like nothing's happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So when you woke up and you're saying that you was in agony, would that be...
Everything on the backside, you know. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
My wrists, my backside, sometimes the thing on my, whatever was in my eyes, it was dead, my head was always dead tight. I like to play football, you know, but I played football, but then I couldn't do it anymore, you know.
Yeah.
It's too sore to run, so I was playing football, but it was too sore to run, you know. It happened to me for about 3 weeks, rabid. Then it stopped, and it was just like, it was as if I'd imagined it, you know? That kind of way. Because of my age, I knew I wasn't imagining it, you know? And so a couple of other boys knew they wouldn't imagine it either. You know, they knew it was happening, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So this happened to you for consistently 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yeah, then it stopped, and it happened about a month later, it started again, you know? And I think I woke up halfway through it, the second time, the second month, you know, the third month I was there, it happened, I woke up. I never get out of my weekend that weekend, because, I don't know, and the couples he kept in for the weekend, the other folk went home for the weekend, and that's when it really started, you know?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And then sometimes with a couple of them are waiting, and they're going like, yeah, nobody protects you now, everybody's the way home and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
See, I don't, if I'm unconscious, I don't know what happened to me. And I can feel the pain in that, but I can't say what happened to me because of the lying, mate, you know? Because I'm unconscious, you know? No other thing, but I was unconscious the first 3 weeks, I was unconscious all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So I can't really say exactly how many things, but the pain was terrible, you know? Still feel it today. You know?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So was it then when obviously you were at the age of 16 and you was put, was you back in front of the panel? Obviously the staff members wanted to keep you, but is that when you then told the panel what had happened and that you didn't want to go back?
No, I was because of, you know, I was turning 16. I was the sentence I was doing was till I was 16. So the thing called a 4136 and it keeps you until 18, but I wasn't on that. I was 16 and I was released, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought, these laws suggest nothing happens, you know, because it was on for, I think the Church of Scotland was on for 30 or 40 years before. I think it's not up to this day, I mean, you know?
Yeah.
But Kellen Parts, that's closed down, yeah, that's gone. The jail's going, I don't know, I looked at it as a bomb jail's going because you're unconscious, yeah, you're done on that. I felt sick. I'd go and lie in my bed, and that'd be me. I just think it was bad food, you know?
Yeah, no, of course, I understand.
I'd go in my bed and I'd fall asleep, and I'd wake up and I'd be in agony.
Yeah. No, I do apologise for the, you know, the experiences that you've had to deal with there, Andrew. I know it's a lot. It's, I really do feel for you, but you've kept this in for quite some time, and thank you for opening up to me about it. Yeah, honestly, I really, really do appreciate it.
Did anybody stand in the court and say anything about this or anything?
What was that, sorry?
Did anybody stand in the court and say anything about this?
Yeah, so I'm going to send you out an email that's just going to contain a few documents, including the part one and two of your application. On the part two, there'll be a part two extra, which will have your statements in, what I've written up for you. It's entirely up to yourself whether you want to skim over and see what I've put. I completely understand if you don't want to. Yeah. All I've done, obviously, from what you've told me, I've expanded on a few things. I've listed what you've told me. But yeah, this will come to you via email, and you'll need to sign it for me. And it's all done electronically, so you can either sign it with your finger, or you can type in your name on your phone, and it'll populate your name for you like a signature. And then all you do is once that form comes back to me, I can then send off your application to the redress scheme in order to obtain an application number on your behalf.
Yeah.
So I'll talk you through that process in a second. But so with that Gisland House, is there anything else that you'd like to explain to me, or should we leave it at that?
Just kind of leave that for today, because I don't want to talk about it anymore, to be honest with you.
No, Andrew, that's completely fine. I completely understand, and you've done amazing, so thank you.
Man, there is more, you know.
Yeah, no, of course. Well, when it comes to doing the witness statement, which is going to be a few months down the line, one of my colleagues who I work closely with, they specialise in doing these witness statements for you, and they'll be able to expand on what's already been written up from myself, and they'll also ask you, you know, some further questions and get some further information from you and write up a really professional, good statement from yourself, in order to then finally submit that back to the redress scheme in order to await the panel date. So this is all done behind closed doors. You or I don't have to attend anywhere. We do all the hard work for you. Once we've got everything in order and we've got the witness statement from yourself, we then submit this application back to the redress scheme, and then we wait for a panel date, and we'll inform you of when that panel date will be once we're notified, and we'll also notify you of the conclusion to the case as well. So there is four types of abuse that this scheme looks at. It's neglect, physical abuse, emotional abuse, and sexual abuse. Obviously, you fit the criteria of this scheme. So in regards to that, Andrew, there's two types of payments that you can go for. One of the payments is a fixed payment of £10,000. That's just a fixed amount regardless of the severity of the abuse that you've suffered. But there's an individually assessed payment, which is decided, as I said, by a closed independent panel. And they look at the level of abuse that you've suffered. They listen to your story, or they look at your story. They look at the support and evidence that we'll provide. And that's a payment of up to £100,000. I want to put you forward for the individually assessed payment, if that's okay. As I feel like, obviously, you are, or your story is worth more than £10,000 in compensation from the Scottish Government.
Okay, that's fine, man. Thank you very much.
That's okay, that's not a problem. So I just need to ask, Andrew, have you gone through any criminal injuries compensation authorities or anything like that in regards to damages for or abuse for the abuse that you've suffered?
Never.
No, okay. And do you have any criminal convictions at all?
Yes.
Okay. With your convictions, Andrew, have you spent 5 or more years in prison relating to your convictions?
I got 7 years in 1992.
Okay, and what was that for?
Culpable homicide.
Okay.
There's severe provocation. My friend stabbed me, and he died. You know.
Yeah. Okay, that's, I understand. Okay. With it being nearly 30 years ago, nearly 30 years ago. Sorry, mine went blank for a second then. Obviously, I will note it down because it is a question that I need to tick yes for in terms of the application. But I don't think it's going to make much of an impact on your award, given the severity of obviously the abuse that you've suffered. Obviously, I do just want to inform you on this recorded call. Obviously, it may potentially have some impact, but I'd rather make you aware of it than not expect it at all. So it could, I'm not saying it will, but it could just have a slight impact in regards to the award that the scheme offer you. But obviously, of course, at least I've made you aware of it. And, from my experience, this is 30 years ago. It's nothing as of recent. You've spent your time in prison. So I can only advise you of that, but you are still applicable for compensation regardless of that conviction, okay?
Yeah, you'll be able to keep me up to date in it anyway, won't you, anyway, you know?
Yeah, of course, yeah. So what I'm going to do for you, Andrew, is I'm going to send you out an email. It's going to contain a few documents. One of them is a client care letter from ourself, and that's just basically a hi and welcome, this is what we're doing for you kind of letter. Then there's a conditional fee agreement, which just basically explains the percentage that we take, which again is 16% plus VAT, so that's 19.2%. That'll just explain that it's a capped figure and give you the breakdown of that percentage in itself. Then there's a letter of authority, which basically gives us the right to act on your behalf in obtaining records from your GP, your care records, anything to do with the social care records from your local authority and councils. Just basically gives us the right to act on your behalf. And then also there'll be that part one and part two that you'll receive. As I said, all you do is, I'll send you the link to these documents shortly. All you do is you'll get a text message with the link. You just click the link, it'll open it up for you. And then there'll be a box at the bottom, which will say how many fields are required left to sign. Get that box back to zero, scroll to the bottom.